You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Hello, One of Us listeners. My name is Nick. You may recognize my voice from One of Us shows such as The Screener Squad, The Final Watch series, and occasionally The Breakfast Pub. Recently, I ventured into the world of audiobooks and created my own production company, Mercs with Mics, which so far has been quite successful. The bad news is that's a little too successful for me to actually keep up with the workload on. So I'm looking for some freelance audio editors to help me out with some basic editing. Things like editing out flub takes, loud breathing between dialogue, and the elimination of clicks and pops and other artifacts that might end up on the audio. Payment would start at the rate of $70 per full hour of edited audio. I'm also looking for narrators, with a decent home recording setup, and at least some previous experience in acting. If you are interested in either of these positions, please contact me at mercswithmics@gmail.com. Thank you for your time, and a special thanks to all the listeners who support OneOfUs.net and keep this wonderful site going. You make me proud to be one of us.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net, keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Would I watch this on a binge? Would I watch this on the fringe? No, I won't watch Green Eggs and Ham. Oh, wait, yes, I will, because I've got kids.
Wow. Hey, that's a good
terrible
one.
Reading.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one there. It's better than what I was trying to do before. But, hey, yeah. Wow, Netflix made a 13-episode adaptation of Green Eggs and Ham, a book that would take you literally 3 minutes to read.
Try new things. Now let's stretch that out over 13 episodes with plenty of pop culture references and celebrity cameos.
And add some good character development and add some great story and some great voice acting and you got the show, guys.
It's beautifully drawn. I'm not going to shit on the artwork. Every episode, for sure.
Yeah, we should talk a little about that. So, yeah, everyone, this is Green Eggs and Ham, the Netflix series adaptation, something I never thought I would ever say. But, this got a lot of traction lately because apparently, if the statistics are still accurate, this is one of the most expensive Netflix things ever produced, in terms of animation, especially.
What?
Yeah, this cost $60 million to make.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot of turtle stacking.
But that's the thing. It's like, okay, I guess that's the case because I have to assume that most of this is like hand-drawn or like more practically done effect work for animation, right? Or
it looks hand-drawn. All of it looks hand-drawn, and that's very pretty.
It's amazing looking.
But yeah, Doggett, you were saying. Yeah.
I'm just saying kids are going to rewatch the show several times. I'm just going to call it right now. This is Y7, so it's appropriately rated for its demographic, but adults are going to enjoy this as well, except for Bradley, of course.
Wow. You know, and that's one of the weird things, too, is that, you know, adults will enjoy it, and apparently the person who enjoyed this so much they want to adapt it was Ellen DeGeneres, because she's one of the main producers on this, so...
Oh, well, yeah, $60 million from her, no problem, right?
Oh, yeah, and then it's Warner Brothers who are the main frontrunners, which, to be fair... Warner Brothers Animation, when you look at some of the stuff they do, like, I mean, say what you will about some of their properties, because I think that's also the guys who are behind, like, the animated Justice League kind of cartoons and that stuff nowadays, like, the movies they're making. But they actually produce some pretty ambitious animated projects, you know, like they did the Lego movie stuff, I believe.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, yeah. And then apparently they're still trying to do Space Jam 2. Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah, I mean, well, not after what LeBron's been doing with China and as such, but whatever.
That just guaranteed the movies to be made.
Well, sure, yeah, that's the.
I would love to see how they work in the Looney Tunes and the China conflict. That'd be
well,
fun.
it'll be the artists drawing the cartoons.
Okay, let's not go into this road. I got to ask though, for you know, Brad, since you've seen this. I'm going to ask you what the plot is. Knowing already the plot is Green Eggs and Ham, but how do they stretch this plot into something that's worthy of a summary?
This plot is so innocently insane. I'm going to explain what it is, and then Doggett, you can correct me if you think I'm wrong or being unreasonable.
I will give the correct summary afterwards. Okay.
Oh, we'll see if you even need to. Are you ready? This story is about an eco-terrorist named Sam who kidnaps a bird from a zoo.
Okay, this is already way off track from what I know about Green Eggs.
Right? Any corrections yet, Doggett? Nope, that's what it is. And meets up with a bomb maker, an eco-terrorist and a bomb maker. Any corrections, Doggett? No. That's what this is?
Yeah, that's pretty good, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty on the money.
Trying to save this bird, who run into a bunch of crazy characters who are after them for different reasons, for kidnapping this chick-a-raff, a chicken and giraffe, get it? You just combine any shit you want together and call it Seuss. Okay, whatever. And I honestly don't even remember how the green eggs and ham are involved. Something about his mom used to make him green eggs and ham, and he's searching for his mom sometimes, but not all the time. And everybody sounds very happy with their paychecks.
Yeah.
That's what this story is about.
Because, oh my gosh, the cast list in this is humongous. Because you've got Michael Douglas and M. Devine in the lead roles here as Guy I Am and Sam I Am. But then you got Keegan-Michael Key as the narrator. Eddie Izzard's in this. Jillian Bell, Diane Keaton, Jeffrey Wright, Ilana Glazer, Tracy Morgan, David Diggs, John Turturro, Billy Eichner, D. Bradley Baker. It's just, wow, that is a stacked cast for this movie.
Oh, Tracy Morgan, too.
Yeah, that's what I think I said him, too. But, yeah, like...
Oh, Tracy Morgan was actually pretty funny. What character was he
again?
He
was the best episode.
He was the fox,
right?
The fox.
Yeah, the fox. I liked the fox a lot.
Hungry and thirsty-ass fox.
Yeah, that was good. That was pretty funny.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not all, like, me trying to figure out how I am going to explain to my kids that the character Sam I Am is funny and adventurous, but please don't imitate this psychopath.
Well, that's the point of the show. The show openly shows that Sam I Am is a piece of shit.
Does it though?
I don't think it successfully shows that. For the first 5 minutes, he is shown not to be that great. It shows him breaking into a zoo, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah, he ninja breaks into a zoo while he narrates it.
He puts children in danger. He's destroyed a home of a very poor family. He's a menace.
Okay.
Just like he was in the book. In the book, Sam I Am is a dick. I don't want green eggs and ham. I don't want your nasty ass food. And he will not let up. This is appropriate to the book.
It sounds like you guys watched a fever dream in the way you described this adaptation.
There was a fever dream at some point in the show.
See, I thought the eggs were green, but the ham was just ham. I was surprised that all of it was green, that they decided to go with that in the book interpretation.
Yeah, it's
from the book interpretation, I mean. But anyways. What did you think about, this is what I'm curious, I like Key a lot. I think he's underrated and overrated at the same time.
I would agree.
But I love his ad-libbing the most when he's a part of things. This seemed like he was very constrained, but why do you think they had a narrator at all? The narrator was literally in the moment with these characters. Like, he'd be like, oh, we're falling. Oh, wait, you got a way out. Good. Whew, that was a close one. Why is this narrator telling me what's happening on the screen? I have eyes.
If it's a Dr. Seuss property, you're kind of obligated just to have a narrator, I think.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Every Dr. Seuss movie has a narrator.
All of them?
All of them. Even the last Grinch movie, it's that one guy narrating it.
Who?
I don't remember. It's just some random guy. It doesn't even fit the movie.
Oh, in the Grinch movie with Cumberbatch?
Yeah.
There was a narrator. Okay. I didn't finish it. But
It was Pharrell Williams who narrated it.
Yeah. What?
Pharrell Williams, the singer, narrated the Grinch movie. Okay.
I remember that
what
now.
What an interesting track record of narrators here. Pharrell Williams, Keegan-Michael Key.
Was it Anthony Hopkins that narrated the Jim Carrey Grinch?
Yes.
There was a snowflake and the bunch of who's lived on it. Give me my check.
And then they ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice candy.
A nice candy.
Hey, you can say what you want about the show, but I will say one thing. This show is not a cash grab. This this looks like somebody had an idea for something, and they very slickly probably pitched it. I don't know the history of the show. I'm assuming somebody had an idea for something, and they're using Dr. Seuss characters to bring that to life. And I respect that. If it's okay. Good.
Well, they did put a lot of love into the animation, clearly, and a lot of money into it. And that's very high risk, considering the track record, as you said earlier, Justin, that Seuss adaptations have. They're usually bombs, or they're usually...
Yeah, unless they're short cartoons, they're usually awful. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, why do you think this is such a hard watch? Because it has messages... typical messages that are heartfelt, but they're all wrong. Like, Sam will be like, geez, Guy, you need to be more adventurous. And Guy will be like how? I survived cancer. How much more adventurous can I be?
Okay, I think we got different ways of viewing this. I think you kept on thinking the show was telling you, oh, look how cool Sam is. Look how awesome and funny he is. The way this show was showed me, every episode ends with Sam and I am doing something kind of shitty. The second episode ends with him almost killing Guy.
Does he get comeuppance for his reckless behavior, or is it rewarded?
Actually, it's not rewarded.
It's not rewarded.
Oh, yeah? It's not? Are
you
sure?
No. At the very end, all it does is help, like, one specific thing. And before that, and after that, which is, I don't want to spoil anything. This is kind of set up for a sequel series.
No,
which is
I don't want anything
part,
spoiled either.
Yeah, what, which is yeah. The worst wait, part. They're going to do more?
It kind of
yeah,
set up.
It ends on a let's do a season two ending. And all of my kids, and this is why I don't want to crap on it too bad. All of my kids were like, yay, and clapped. Like, I can't wait till season two comes. And I'm just flabbergasted, like, you guys liked all that?
Because they're not dead inside.
Well, I'm not denying that, but...
He's not about to sit my kids down and say, here's why Sam is awful.
It shows why Sam I Am
has to work to get something good. He does not get, like, a great happy ending. He gets an opportunity of a happy ending.
Like, okay, Sam will be like, we gotta be adventurous. And I'm like, okay, that's a good message. I like the idea of kids being adventurous. But then he'll say, let's jump off this moving train. And I'll be thinking, okay, that's not adventurous, Sam. That's insane. And you're a psychopath.
No,
and then
they
jump off the train.
That's the point. Sam I Am in this show is a fucking sociopath. There's a point where he looks at Guy and says, oh, shit, he's not dead.
Okay.
No, he doesn't say, oh shit, he's not dead.
Well,
and you're
yeah.
like, are you alive?
No, he clearly said, oh shirt, just like in The Good Place, because they can't swear.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was
What'd
like,
you think of
oh, man,
Adam
I
Devine as
dead.
The lead?
I thought your plot line was done. Shit.
what did you think of, like, I'm being more nasally than Adam, is it Devine or Devine? I'm not sure.
Adam Devine, yeah.
Adam Devine. I think he's great, actually. But... what did you think of that character's performance, at least the emotion behind
Adam
it?
Adam Devine puts a lot of charm into that little cartoon
yeah,
character.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And the design is very cute. Did you know that Sam was supposed to be a child, though? Or did I miss something there?
He's not a child. I think he's like probably, if we're going by who years, he's probably in his 20s. I don't think he's a child.
Well, like a teenager? Well, he related the most to the other kids very
well.
Well,
he was
in this
driving,
show.
And whenever a Dr. Seuss character drives, it means they're an adult.
Oh, that's a good point. All right. I concede to that logic. Okay.
Do they get their WHO licenses or something like that? Or
what's it called? Yeah, Sam I Am. I don't know. It's just the way the story goes in the show, Sam I Am is a great character.
Okay. Well, so, I mean, Max, since you're being a little quiet over there, like, is there anything you want to ask these guys about this show or anything you want to know?
I don't know. I'm just, I turned it on Netflix just out of curiosity to see what it looks like. And it looks fantastic in 4K.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
The animation quality is really nice. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even really know what this show's about still from all the descriptions.
it sounds all over the place.
It's
honestly
a manhunt movie. There's two yeah. people chasing Sam I Am throughout the entire show. It's one of those cartoons. They're running from place to place, trying to get to a destination, doing their best to avoid the law.
Do you think they pulled back on those characters? At first, it seemed like the guy chasing him.
It was very appropriate. It was very appropriate.
Well, it seemed like he was an Anton Chigurh knockoff, but then a studio was probably like, do not make this guy an Anton Chigurh knockoff. So he had all his personality and look, but not the voice.
It wouldn't fit the story. Wait, are we talking about the same character? Are we talking about a character with fur or a character with horns?
The character with blue fur that kind of had a graying problem.
Well, I feel like if they pushed it that far, it would be too far for what happens later in the story.
What did you think of his partner that was just there to shout all the lines?
I'm going to say I laughed at all her lines like your kids did.
Well, was that...
You're not wrong. They did laugh at all of them.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I mean, let's put some context. Like, do you know
who the actors hyper, of the characters? She's a very hyperactive, almost Amy Poehler-like character.
Yeah, she wasn't bad. I just thought it was awkward.
Well, you have, like...
There's a lot in this that's awkward to me.
Sam Elliott-like character. You kind of need something to bounce off of it.
Oh, no, I'm assuming, is it Gillian Bell and Jeffrey Wright who are those characters?
I'd have to check.
Glunts and Mick Winkle?
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Oh, Mick Winkle.
Say for sure.
Mick Winkle. What? Yeah, all these names here. Mick Winkle, Squeaky, Hervnik Z. These are...
Hervnik Z. And did you think the major villain was just a silly Trump impression, or do you think that was a coincidence?
Yeah, that had been Trump, yeah.
Because what is it as overused as Trump jokes these days?
Well, he didn't talk in Trump's vernacular. He almost tried to sound British.
It was just the hair.
But the hair, yeah. The big hair and I'm the boss and everyone should listen to me attitude he had was a little... Maybe it is. Maybe it's a coincidence. But
well, I mean,
yeah, the hair was a bit much.
That was Eddie Izzard's character too, which, I mean, Eddie Izzard, anytime he says something, sounds very like pompous and over the top anyways.
So. Yeah, I'm willing to say it was a coincidence other than the hair that... It was probably a coincidence because
this little rich man who had more money than everybody else in the world was just still trying his best to impress his friends.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of relatable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, was anyone else in the cast really notable? Like you said, like Tracy Morgan shows up in this. David Diggs is apparently this French mouse named Squeaky at one point.
Yeah. Oh,
he was a fun character, actually. And he breaks the fourth wall really, really well. That's the That's the best fourth wall break. Davy Diggs going, "What'd you say?" to the narrator, in my opinion.
Okay, you know, the way you guys sell this, I'm intrigued. Like, I don't know if I actually really want to watch this, but I'm intrigued to like give it a shot, kind of thing. Because it sounds unlike anything else I've seen on Netflix lately. So,
Justin, I wish you did drugs so you can get the full enjoyment of this show.
The show made for kids. Is it expected that they should take drugs to watch it?
Oh, like nobody's done drugs to Dr. Seuss books. Come on now.
drugs makes you into a kid. Turns you into a kid.
Take this and you'll go back to your childhood.
Oh, no. Nothing bad will ever happen. And every day is Saturday morning cartoons.
Every day is Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can chase that trick cereal now.
Did this show have anything to do with Green Eggs and Ham?
Yes, that's the main thing of the show. It's a running thing.
I don't think it's the main thing of the show. I think it's completely inconsequential, actually. But why don't you explain that part?
It's a running thing. It's just a running thing.
It's like a through line, and it's not a bad through line.
Yeah.
It's just, I guess that's what they're doing with Green Eggs and Ham. Then.
Yeah, they had to put Green Eggs and Ham somewhere in the story. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, which.
But honestly, I'm going to agree with you on that, Doggett. I am glad that they didn't take the premise of, will you eat this garbage food I have and stretch it over 13 episodes? I do think eco-terrorist as protagonist is a bit much for kids. That's just an overly concerned helicopter parent, and I'm sorry.
But it is a weird premise. Here's the real reason it's Green Eggs and Ham. This is an expensive-ass show. You don't think they took a few shortcuts? They did not animate any other type of food in this show besides some kind of weird sloth shit and Green Eggs and Ham.
Okay.
Weird.
Slop shit.
And Bradley's thinking about it right now. He's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Animated food always looks weird.
Yeah. No, I mean, I guess there's not really much else to say. Like, is it like the music's really good or anything? Or is the editing good? Or any other qualities you could say, like pro or con towards the production?
Was there much music at all in this? There was the opening song that was... The opening song I'm not a fan of, but a lot of people seem to love it.
Well, because it's the lead guy from Weezer who did the opening song, Rivers Cuomo. Cuomo.
Okay.
I want to watch Bradley listen to that song. I want to see Bradley's eyes.
You
want to
see my face?
When they're singing,
Watch me backflip. Watch me backflip. Dad, you're not looking. Watch
Dad,
me backflip.
Dad, your soul's leaving your body.
Yeah, because otherwise the music is all done by David Newman, who just kind of does these kind of movies. Like, he did Anastasia way back in the day. That's probably the most notable score he did, you know, for animated films.
Oh, I've seen that a couple of times. That's a beautiful score.
Justin, watch this with Lexi. This is a cute ass show.
Watch a couple. What did you think? This is my final question for you, Doggett.
Yes.
You didn't think it was a little awkward that there was a bit of a love interest story happening around episode?
That's the worst part of the show.
I agree with you, but why did you think that was the worst part?
Kind
of,
yeah.
They make a very awkward... Maybe it wasn't supposed to be awkward, but the emotion and the art of these faces are so well done that you can actually see sexual tension between these two animated characters, and it's awkward.
I think you saw something in these drawings.
No, when she's all like, why don't you be my guy? And he's like, I'm not your guy,
buddy. In a show that's hand-drawn, would you say that Bradley was reading in between the lines?
Maybe a little bit. And, you know, Michael Douglas is pretty sexually ambiguous in most stuff he's in. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, so that's what I would ask, too, is like, I think we kind of teased about this before the recording, but how is Michael Douglas in this? We've spent a lot of time talking about Adam Devine.
Bradley,
he's
go ahead.
Fine. I just think he's fine. I think anybody else could have done a better job, though.
I think Michael Douglas
a trained
carries
professional
a lot
voice
of,
actor.
I think Michael Douglas carries a lot of emotion in his voice, personally.
Okay. Well, here's the thing, too. The real test of that. Did at any point he reference anything from Wall Street in this? Like, you know, talk about greed is good or like green is good? Kind of thing? Or no?
Okay. It was a pure character.
He's more a struggling artist.
Okay, yeah. That's good.
But the struggle is stupid. Like, I don't get it. It's a good message. If you mess up, try again. But the way he messes is up, someone should tell him, you can't do this anymore. You're going to kill somebody.
Yeah,
it's
don't
crazy
you love
that way. Ugh. Or, you know, I'm overthinking a show for kids. But it's so beautiful that is this just for kids? It's
yes.
Really gorgeous looking, and
kids,
it's got
are
all
kids,
these.
Are kids allowed quality?
Yeah, there you go.
No, kids must be given the absolute bottom barrel garbage. That's how That's how I grew up with straight to video movies, and that's how everyone else should do it.
Yeah, like if the message was if all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you? Sam I Am would be like, I'd be the first to jump off. That's a bad message.
It's interesting, though, too, is that there actually haven't been that many reviews for this, because I'm sure most critics are like, who would want to watch a show about green eggs and ham? But all the reviews I'm seeing on Rotten Tomatoes so far have been, like, glowing praise for this show. Like, 4 or 5 out of 5, and B-pluses and A-pluses kind of stuff. I'm, like, kind of amazed that this is being received as well as it is by the few people who are actually watching it.
Well, as the older people like to say, this show has no right being as good as it is.
And there are a lot of animated shows for kids on Netflix that are worse, and I'm willing to admit that.
I'm pretty sure you reviewed one for this.
That my kids wouldn't even finish. That would be like, okay, we're done, thanks. And I'm like, but I have to finish this. And they're like, good luck, bye. I'm like, ooh, you better be at the Christmas Eve party, you little snot.
Hey, we already did that review for Let It Snow. We can't bring that back up again. Well, any other points before we move on to final ratings and thoughts, then?
Do you think there'll be a season 2, Doggett?
Oh, man, this show's so fucking expensive. I don't know. You gotta wait. It's like, I'm scared. It's like, are they gonna renew this or Dark Crystal?
Dark Crystal. You know what? Yeah, screw it, Green Eggs and Ham. Dark Crystal. Renew that.
Apparently this show started development in 2015.
Yeah, it's been production hell, so...
Ooh, it sounds like you don't think Netflix will be around in 5 years.
Oh, no, Netflix is going to be around long after all our dead bodies are decomposing.
Damn. Hey, Netflix is going to be around much longer than Apple TV will be. So
look, all our parents use Netflix. They already cornered the market. It's done.
Yeah. Netflix is synonymous with streaming television. So
yeah, you guys aren't wrong. Yeah.
It's like soda in Texas. It's just under one name. Streaming services are just under one name, Netflix.
The Coca-Cola of streaming.
Same colors.
Oh, shit, that's true.
I don't know if this makes me thirsty for Coke or thirsty for Netflix, and that's really weird.
Yeah, there'll be like a Netflix Max Super Edition, and then they'll go back to Netflix Classic.
I'm just thinking, like, everybody keeps ragging on Netflix, saying, like, they don't have anything good showing, and that they'll be out of business soon.
That's all they do is untrue. Release
something good every month.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of those silly console wars, remember? What's going to go out of business, Sony or Xbox? And now here we all are playing both of them.
Yeah, I have both consoles, so there we go. They both win.
Yeah, and then Nintendo comes back again.
Yeah, Nintendo's the one always on the verge of bankruptcy, it feels like, where they're like, hey, we don't do anything, and then suddenly, hey, here's a Switch, have fun.
Yeah.
Poor Sonic the Hedgehog can't catch a break.
Who cares about that?
Anyway. Hey, he will fine. In like March when his movie comes out.
You think so?
No, nobody's going to see that except me, just because it looks funny.
Well, I love that cast. I'm so
Bradley,
sad
I hope you enjoy that movie.
I'll watch and review that if I get the permission. But anyways.
Yeah, me too.
But anyways, yeah. So who would like to go first with their final thoughts and rating?
Age Before Beauty.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go first. This is something that I can't think too much about or I'll hate it. But my kids really loved this show a lot. Like, my eldest daughter, 9, has pretty much binged it twice. She finds it charming, and that's what they were going for. I think the art is exquisite, beautifully done every single episode. Like, there isn't a single time in this show where I thought, aha, there it is. There's where they were slacking off. Bunch of liars. But, I can't stand these character lessons. I think they're all over the place. No, I don't want my kids jumping off bridges, Sam, you freaking psycho. No, I don't want my kids to try so hard at things they're terrible at. There are other things to do. You don't have to commit your life to one thing. And what I'm saying here is I think it sounds absurd. Like, maybe you're looking too much into it, Brad. It's just a silly Dr. Seuss character-driven story. I'd probably review a season 2 because I like spending time with my kids, and thank you, Netflix, for that. That's why I watch a lot of the cartoons I watch, because spending time with my kids and seeing them happy, even if it's just for like 6 hours over something, you know, kind of harmless. I didn't loathe this as much as I let on, but I also didn't like it. So I'm going to give this 5 suicidal death jumps into adventure out of 10.
Oh, okay. Well then, Daggett.
Bradley, I want you to review like a Dr. Seuss book. I want to hear like you like talk about like how absurd it is that the Grinch was not arrested as soon as he came back with all the presents.
That would be a dark ending, though, if he came into the square with a Santa sack and he's like, I've come to give all your gifts back, and the Whos are all like, get him!
They're singing over like a hung Grinch, like, oh.
How the Grinch hung Christmas.
Oh man, this is just such a man. I guess when I was younger, they felt the need to make cartoons a little bit more edgier, and this is just like good, clean, wholesome American Pie, good old safe cartoon Dr. Seuss television. This is the best Dr. Seuss adaption ever made. Let's just cut the bullshit.
Ooh, this is bold most, claim.
This is not a bold claim. I'm sorry. Look, all the stuff from the 60s, that's all great. That's fantastic, guys. But come on, let's stop holding it on a pedestal. There's other stuff can be great, too.
Well, yeah, but was it Chuck Jones who did The Grinch?
Yes.
It was a masterpiece.
And unfortunately they were not creative enough to extend it to 13 episodes, but this show did have the creative team. And they succeeded.
Is that what we're calling it, that they weren't creative enough?
I mean, there was a solid maybe story episode, actually... beginning, middle, end, for and a hook at the end of every episode that got you to watch the next one.
Okay.
What's it called? This was a finely crafted show. I will give so much props to this team and everybody that worked on it. I love this show. I hope my kids and my kids' kids will be watching this show the same way we watched. We still watch those old ass cartoons. So I'm gonna give the show a. You know what? I'm gonna go for it. 10 out of 10 failed Doctor Seuss adaptions.
Ooh! Wow! 10 out of 10. Well, at least the good news is that this is not anything like Illumination is nowhere near this adaptation. So.
Oh my gosh, that Lorax movie. Holy shit.
Yeah, jeez.
And no, you're right. Like, that is bottom of the barrel stuff. And that's, yeah, this is worlds better than that.
Look at the Lorax. Like, at least the show is great moral. I know you don't like it, but it's morally, there's nothing, like, too bad about it. The Lorax is like, I'm the Lorax. I speak for the green.
Hi, I'm Ted. I'm a 12-year-old boy.
I'm only interested in environmentalism so I can get with a hot girl.
That's such a horrible reason to do anything. And
but the most accurate reason.
Well, I guess if people want to become budding young Inco terrorists, they can watch the show too. So,
speak for the trees. Burn it all down. Kill the billionaires.
Chop down those trees. Turn them into money.
There we go. We get the Lorax and Sam I Am to team up.
The ultimate crossover.